On faith again, and our title for this today is called Today's Faith. Today's Faith. Time for planning for this future and looking to the future in this life is out of the question for the overcomer. And God more and more is going to show that when we try to plan our future, it probably won't happen anyway. And there is something that he's trying to show and teach us. And that is, we walk each day, as we have heard so many times, by faith. And today we have the faith in which to walk, to overcome. And if the Lord tarries, then we have a faith that will preserve and keep us until he returns. But the principle of faith and our walk of faith is, I walk this day by faith. And we are not to consider or work in our mind about tomorrow, next week, or next year if the Lord tarries. We are to walk this day by faith. And I truly believe the Holy Spirit is really beginning to work this one now in us, which means that we have to let go. It means we let go of still this drive within us to survive, to live. We completely let go and trust God, so that each day my walk is a walk where I have let go. And I'm trusting God this day, and he will bring me through on whatever is contained in this day. And I really believe the Holy Spirit is starting to work this one, particularly for the overcomers, to those who not only want this, but know that this is the right way to walk with God. This is the only way we will please God, and it's the only way all the saints and the patriarchs walked likewise. If your eyes and heart are on Jesus, then it won't let you plan for the future. If you're solely looking to the Lord, seeking the kingdom, you aren't going to start finding yourself planning, scheming, working these things out, trying to plan for a future, which of course the world does. Now, of course, when you go to work, a lot will take out a pension. And pensions are all designed and geared for the future, for when you retire. And it's not to say that if you have a pension, you suddenly throw it away. I'm just using the world and its analogy and how it does things and how God is trying to get us delivered from these mindsets that still try to get us to plan for the future. Planning for the future is an indication fighting for survival, to live. God never created man to fight for survival. The curse, the fall, sadly has brought that. You only got to look at the animal life, how they have to fight to survive, to live. Sadly, we're seeing in human beings how streetwise now people are becoming. Well, I know when I go to India, they're so streetwise. They know what's going on. They know what's being said. They know all the contacts and everything. It's all about surviving. And God says we let go of all of that. For God will provide for this day and everything that is needed for us to survive. Obviously, he's given life. He's the giver of life. So he's going to preserve that life within us. And we now have the life of Jesus Christ living in and through us. So he's going to preserve that life. Godhead that lives in us is eternal, who can never die. That's a preservation, is it not? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know, there was a song that came out years ago. It was around about 1956. And it was a song that was used for a film. Alfred Hitchcock used to be a director then in those days. He made a film, and I believe it was Doris Day. Anyone remember Doris Day, the actress there? And there was a song that she used to sing in this, Que Sera, Sera. Anyone, whatever will be. The future is not ours to see, Que Sera, Sera. I mean, they had a bit of common sense in those days. Can't plan the future. And yet here we are, planning, scheming, as though we've got, you know, years and years and years to live, and it's as though we've forgotten all sight that the Lord's coming, and we were told that he's going to come like a thief in the night. He won't come. We'll miss out if we're planning and scheming. He will catch us as a thief. But for those who are looking to Christ, those who are walking by faith, it will not take them by surprise. That's the question. You see, it's within us to want to know the future. And this is why people go to spiritists and the occult. There's something within them. We want to know the future. I want to know what sort of job I'm going to have. I would like to know what sort of partner I'm going to marry. I want to know. It's that pride. In wanting to know, it means then I am in control. And a man or woman who walks by faith is not in control. And that's the whole point of it. It is Christ in you who's in control, living his life through us. He is the control. He is the source. He is the one that's taking over. And it's not just mere words. This is an experience. This is something we have to enter into. And of course, this is where he allows our trials that we go through, so that in order he can take over. Every trial that we are going through is actually designed for us to let go. And if you're going through a trial over and over again, it's because you're refusing to let go. You still want to be in control. And this is ultimately what the Lord is working in and through us. And he has these right trials in order for us to eventually let go. You see, we all want our dreams and aspirations. And of course, in education, we're brought up to know You will have your dreams, you will have your future, you will have your job and everything. That's what teachers are there for, to help encourage you for your future life and so forth. We've all come out of that. And yet we have to let all of that go. Because it's the world. It's actually a lie. It's a mirage. And we know we're in the end times now because, of course, we hear so many. And, you know, one of the biggest lies in education, I don't want to get too much into this, but higher education and university and so forth, one of the big lies of all of that over the last 20 years, certainly 10 years, has been people getting degrees, coming out with firsts and so forth. Do they get the jobs they want? I know a lot of people who are working in supermarkets who got degrees. It's a lie. Who wants to hold on to all of that? And we have the Word of God that shows us that the overcomers have the greatest future that are set before us, eternity, ruling and reigning with Jesus. This world can't compare. This world can't give us anything in comparison to what Christ has given to us and all those promises which are to be fulfilled. Yet we still, within us, want to plan our lives and our futures. We want somehow our dreams and aspirations. Not only do we plan for ourselves, but for others also. Parents are planning for their children. They want them to have the best education. This is the thing today now, get them to the best schools. I want them to have what they didn't have. I want them to fulfill their dreams and so forth. That's the world. But it isn't for the overcomer. The greatest things for our children is that they may know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You can't get anything greater than that. And this, I am convinced, why we have such an epidemic of depression, mood problems, mood swings. These are often the results that the future plans haven't worked out because of all these promises that they make that don't come to pass. Well, all the promises that we have of God are yes and amen, and they will come to pass to those that believe and put their trust. But even now, things, we're seeing the world beginning to fall away. Everything's cracking up. So, of course, these false promises, what does it produce? Depression, anxiety, despondency, and all that. You've only got to look at children today. You've only got to look into their eyes and see it. One in ten, I'm told, it probably is a lot more than this, children are depressed. That's what they're saying now. One in ten. What does it say in Proverbs 27 and verse 1? Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. In other words, it's not just a question of boasting. That boasting means you're lying. You're building your future. You are looking to things. You are planning ahead. When people who plan ahead, it's a sign of boasting in that sense. As though it's going to bring you joy. It's going to get you to walk by faith. Those that plan is a clear sign you don't walk by faith. You're not trusting God. Because you're going to find, more and more as we go in this walk as overcomers, you start planning things, you're going to find it'll go contrary. I know it does if I try it. It goes contrary because we're to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're to commit all things to Him, and He says that He will direct our path. So we are in contact, we are walking by the Spirit. and we are, our lives are committed, so we're seeking him always for that guidance, for that approval, that will, and so forth. It's thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But most of us haven't got a clue about that. And I think that the thought of doing God's will is frightening to many. What will he want of me? What will he require of me? I'm not sure I could do it. I'm not sure I want to, you see. But we can't hide behind any of these excuses. That's the whole point. It also means that we are expecting tomorrow to go according to my plans. And woe betide if it doesn't. And if it doesn't, we get all moody, we get irritable, and so on. I know, because I've been like it. I know exactly what it's like. You know, you build up, you know, you've got it all worked out, and the whole thing goes completely kilter, opposite. And eventually, God's getting your attention. Well, you're doing it without me. We know the principle of Israel. Every time Israel never sought the Lord about going against the enemy, they lost the battle when they didn't seek God. And boy, did they have casualties when they didn't seek God. Thousands were slaughtered. So God was really trying to teach Israel this principle of walking, seeking him, so that it directs our future plans, which are his plans. Let's turn to Luke 12. Here's a wonderful analogy of this. Luke 12. It's the parable, we know this very well, of the rich young ruler. Luke 12, let's take it up from verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell our brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of the covetous, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." There's a clear analogy. A man building for the future. Building riches in that sense. And the principle is there that you're daft. You're a fool. This very night your soul could be required of you. Why were you planning? Why were you doing all of this? And so often, when we're trying to plan for the future, not only does it take our energies mentally, physically, but it often takes us out of the will of God, so that we're not so sensitive, we're not hearing him so much. We're so consumed what I want to do. And of course, that's the question. It's me, what I want to do. And that's, of course, where we surrender, we yield the self-life over, so that the master builder, God himself, can build through us. How do you think his church, the bride, is going to be built in these last days? How is she going to make herself ready? By the master builder himself, the rock, Jesus Christ, building through us as yielded vessels, walking by faith, waiting and looking to the Lord. That's how he's going to build his church, through vessels like that. He can't build his church with people who are going off building and doing their own thing. This is why, sadly, is things never happen in a lot of churches. Because they don't understand. They just think going Sunday is going to church. Church is every day for the overcomer. This is why we're baptized into it. This baptism, which is part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is an empowerment from on high. With power, that dunamis power, so that God can deal with us, get us out of the way, and build his church through us as yielded vessels. And he's doing that. That's how the bride's making herself ready, by that principle. And how's he doing it? By the word of God, by the anointing, by the sword of the Spirit. As the sword of the Spirit works deliverance, it divides, it's changing these hearts of stone and making them hearts of flesh. I know it's not done overnight, but he is ultimately doing this. And in this parable here, of course, this man is using his riches to plan the future. And of course, that's what wealthy people do, rich people do. They plan for the future because they want to multiply their riches and so on. This is why you've got these entrepreneurs, businessmen, trying to build their empires and so forth, little realizing they're all going to come tumbling down. They'll all come tumbling down eventually. It's only just a matter of time. James shows us that planning for the future is based on pride and arrogance. James chapter 4. Let's look at James chapter 4. And look at verses 13 to 17 of James chapter 4. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy, sell and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast to your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So it starts to border on sin eventually if this isn't something that we give over to God and let God start to work. Because it works by pride, you see. Now, he says, if there's something coming up, which of course we have insight to certain things, but it's all base, which he says, if the Lord wills. If he tarries. And it's in that spirit and heart and attitude. If tomorrow comes, which we're expecting it to come, it is a gift. But it might not come for any of us. Tonight, we may stand before our Maker and Creator. That is the whole point. And I think in the early Christian church, they knew the reality of that. And I'll tell you how they knew, because they were under martyrdom, under persecution, and they never knew if they're going to be alive the following day. So that was quite real. But of course, in this life that we live now, it's so different for us. We're not in those conditions. We don't know, it can change, but the point is we're not. And so we have to look at tomorrow, next week, or next year, as a gift. And in the future, I move by the Spirit in the will of God. And that is the key to this, you see. It's not what I want, what I'm planning, or so on. And there are so many things that can take our attraction, take our attention. I'm aware of this. There's so many things we can get drawn into, involved with, and then, you know, you're in the end repenting before God because you've gone out the will of God or whatever it would be. I know. I'm only too aware of it. But sometimes if we're weak, and we are, we just say, Lord, please help me not to go out of your will or get drawn into things that's going to waste time and draw me away from your presence. And I'll tell you something, family is the worst for that. Family will get you drawn, they'll get you involved, they'll take you away from the will of God. That's where the sword comes down. Where does it come first? Right in the family. Mother against daughter, son against father, and so on, divides. Why? Because that's where the enemy works to get us out of the will of God, of putting the kingdom first, to walk by faith. I know. I'm only too aware of it. We have to be so on our guard with this if we want to be people who are going to walk by the Spirit in these last days. You see, saints who are planning reveal they have fear and anxiety as well. Fear and anxiety will make us plan. Oh, we know this very well, don't we, in Matthew 6, but we need to read this. We bring this up quite often in this church, but we can never get enough of this, what it says here in Matthew 6. And let's take it up from, where are we? Let's take it up from, we can take it out really from 25, because it's under the context of not worrying, but let's take from verse 30. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? What is all that connected? All about the future. Tomorrow or next week. What are we going to do next week? Have we got food for tomorrow? It's all about planning. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He can't be any clearer than that. Yet we're still in the process of being delivered from this one. We still find ourselves worrying and getting anxious, you see. And the reason we get anxious and worry, because we can't plan. If I can plan and I can get some sort of guarantee, I'll be happy. We don't get it. We don't get any of that. In fact, he says, let go of the lot. Let go of it. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to do all this basic thing that you look for, you strive for. I don't want you like the world. I don't want you like the Gentiles living like that. Because if we live like the Gentiles, then we're not alike the scene, are we? We're just like the rest of the world. We have to be different. Now, some of us, that we might not want to be different. Well, you've got to work that one out with God, because we are different. The Bible says we're his peculiar treasure. We don't live and act and move like the world does. We are a supernatural people destined for the throne of God. We've got to let him work that through us. As simply as we yield, you can't do it, I can't do it, but as we just say, yes, Lord, amen to it, don't know how you're going to do it, but do it, I'm here, I'm available, I'm yielded to you. That's all he wants. Just believe, and he'll work all of this through us. It's when we want to be in control. And God will make us sensitive when we start to get into it and say, controlling, sorry, let go. You know, it takes a while. I know it does. I know when we were learning to swim years and years ago, you know, when you're starting, you still want to keep just near the side there so you can hold on to the side, you know, and then eventually the instructor says, right, now you're going to move and go out into the middle. What? You know, and he made sure we went out in the middle because he knew by going out in the middle, that's where we would really swim. We weren't dependent anymore on props, you see. And that's exactly what God does with us. He's getting us to swim now. There's no bottom anymore. It is swimming in God's abundant blessing. And that's what we're not fully seeing yet. Israel had problems with this. Their leaders have problems with planning and scheming, just like churches do. They plan and scheme, that's why they tithe. They use an Old Testament principle. They tithe so they can plan this for the future. They're up to all those sorts of tricks. And yet they'll say they walk by faith. Well, there's nothing new to that. Israel was up to that. Isaiah 56. Look what it says to the shepherds here. Isaiah 56, verses 10 to 12. Isaiah 56, verses 10 to 12. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, laying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough, and they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain, from his own territory. And so it goes on. That's what it is. That's what the nature of planning is. It's for your own gain. It's what you want. It's you being in control. And God's admonishing some of the judges there. They're no example. They're not teaching God's people to walk by faith and trust the Lord. You see? That's why it stops one from walking by faith and receiving these blessings each day. You know, we see many illustrations of Israel falling this. I mean, what comes to mind is Israel wanting to store up the manna. Why did she want to store up manna? Well, we could have it for future. And the reason God was going to give them fresh manna every day was to show them they walk by faith. I'm the God of today, now. You know, this is a wonderful deliverance for us, because this walking today by faith, which is what we're talking about, is fresh manna for today. Where do we want to store today's blessing for next week or a month's time? It's rubbish. Why do we do it? We got it fresh today. And if the Lord tarries, it's going to be fresh tomorrow and fresh the next day and so on. You see? We were talking earlier, weren't we, before we started, about eating fresh vegetables and everything. We like the freshness. There's something about the flavour and everything. Well, it's the same with this walk. When we walk by faith each day, there's something fresh. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The scriptures tell us. You see. God isn't into stale things, yet we still want it. And we need to get delivered from it. You see. And there's another thing in scripture as well. If we turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and here it's in the context of the Apostle Paul dealing with the resurrection, because the resurrection is the good news of the gospel. Thank God for the resurrection, because without it, well, might as well give up and go home. And so, there's something he says here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 32, I believe. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And that is how the world lives. Because there's no resurrection. They have no understanding of it. So let's spend everything we've got. Let's be happy. Let's enjoy ourselves, you know, because tomorrow we might be dead and so forth. God's delivering us from that mindset, that mentality. And a lot of the prosperity teaching had that mentality as well. It's almost a sort of fatalistic attitude. Well, we don't know what's going to happen to us. We don't know our future plans, or whatever it is. We don't know where we're going once we die, and so on. So we might as well enjoy ourselves while I've got it. This is why Abraham was a sojourner. And we are sojourners, and all saints who are born by the Spirit of God in nature are sojourners. It is one traveling through. I'm not staying. It's like we go to a lodge. A lodge, the nature of a lodge is you may just stay the night there and then you go on in your travels. And spiritually, that is how we are, how we're to live. That is how Abraham, he walked before God. Hebrews 11 verse 9. Hebrews 11 and verse 9. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. Promises, God's promise. The promised land, a promised future. And all the promises of God all point to the promise, the promised land. That's why we partake of the promises of God's word. But those who can only truly partake of it are these sojourners. And so how are we to live then as sojourners? Well, Peter gives us an indication in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. So that's how we are. While we're still staying, remaining, we work out our salvation in fear and trembling. We're simply passing through. When you were saved, I was saved, God translated us. He not only made us anew, but he's brought us out of. The idea of salvation is to bring us out of into something new. And that's why we're destined for the kingdom of God, for heaven, for eternity, you see. So how can we put our roots down on anything? How can we depend on these things? It's simply passing away. Everything that we see in life is passing away, is decaying. Everything is getting old. That's why our life is, we're told in scriptures, like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow, you see. Because God's trying to teach us something in all. When we stop planning, we become interested in the things of the kingdom. When you stop planning your life, your future, or trying to get other people, you know, because sometimes other people try to plan your lives, don't they? Again, families are, how families try and plan your life around what they want to do and everything. And sometimes you just have to say no. You have to say no. No, that isn't the way I'm going. I'm going in a different direction. Well, I can't go that way. You're going. It isn't right for me. And the point is that when we become interested in the things of the kingdom of God, then God will start to work. You see, the reason we're still not sometimes influenced by the kingdom of God, we hear it, we know it, principally in doctrine, is because I'm not really seeing the things that are attached to it. And the reason I'm not seeing, because I plan my life still too much how I want it. A life that sees the kingdom of God is a life that lets go of everything. So nothing hinders my vision of seeing what pertains to the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What is in the kingdom of God? Well, where do you start and where do you end? We've got the Bible, 66 books telling us about what's in the kingdom of God. I could be preaching now until the Lord comes, telling you about the kingdom of God. And yet he says that's all at our disposal. Everything that is in the kingdom is for you. Not just when you get there, you can start receiving it now. That's the blessing. That's why we hold on to the deeper light teaching. That's why we're overcomers, first fruits, destined for the throne of God. Because we're seeing the kingdom. We're starting to taste of the kingdom. Experiencing the kingdom. As God is delivering us from those things that hold us back from experiencing and receiving it. Hallelujah. But we need our hearts and affections delivered from the things in this world. And you know how God does that? By the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the anointing. That is how he's doing it right now, brothers and sisters. As we're listening to this message, if our hearts open, I'll tell you something. I put my ministry on this. God's, we're right in the midst of deliverance. This moment, this second, while we're hearing this, if we want it. It's free will. See? I know what I want. I know what I want. How God's going to do it, I leave that with him. Why do I do that? Because I have faith for today. And the faith I have today is going to get me through. So the faith we had today has been there preparing us so that we receive by faith this word tonight. That's so wonderful about the word. This is why our meetings are so valuable, because this is a sign of our faith today receiving by faith what he has for us. And what does he want to tell us today? Let go. In fact, that's nothing new. He's been saying for the last year. Just let go. Let go of everything. And you will find you will not fall. I remember, as I bring this to a close now, I know some have heard this, but when the Lord was in the early days showing me faith and the walk of faith and dealing with my life and so forth, he showed me a puppet. And a puppet, of course, as you know, has strings attached to it. So, of course, the puppeteer, the one who's working, obviously working the hands and everything, the puppet will respond to the pulls of the string, you see. Now, who pulls the strings in this life? It's not God. It's the enemy. They're puppets being pulled, jerked, as he wants, what he wants us to do. And what does God do when he starts to take over a life? He'll start to cut each one cutting away. Mm-hmm. And there's quite a lot of strings attached to these puppets. And I saw this, and God was cutting away, and I thought, well, the last one that he's going to cut then, which was like on, almost at the top of the head, the whole thing is going to collapse and just go in a heap on the floor. And when he cut the last one, it did anything but. That puppet then became alive and started to move by itself. And no longer were the movements jerked or steered in whatever direction. That puppet moved gently, flowed, moved with God. And that's what God showed me he's doing. That's what he showed me that this is ministry is. This ministry is deliverance to us. It's a ministry of deliverance, setting us free. He's cutting away those strings. And it's up to us whether we let him do it or not. And you will find when he's cut it all, you are free then. For if the Son shall set you are free indeed. You move with the Holy Spirit in perfect harmony and unity, same as Jesus did. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we have faith for today, today's faith. Heavenly Father, thank you again. Thank you, Lord, that you speak life into us. We know it's true. We know it's right, Father. We have to say amen to it. And Lord, whatever fears or unbelief might be attached to the thought of just letting go completely, you can disperse those because your love will never separate us. Your love will work with us. It never gives up on us, Father. And Lord, we are so grateful for this. And Father, we don't want to hold on. We don't want to plan. We don't want to be in control. Because, Lord, it just heaps up frustration, depression, anger. It doesn't go right when we try and do it. And yet, Lord, we still do at times. Father, forgive us. Have mercy on us, Lord. Help us just to yield over and let you take over as you snip away those strings that still try to control and manipulate. Father, we want to be free, not to do our own thing, but to do the will of God. And so, Lord, we thank you tonight that this word will work in our hearts. This word, we believe, will glorify your name. And we believe the fruit that will come from this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name.
And する